significant shiur. I hope the Torah will be good, but when I say significant, of course, because this will be the last of these shiurim in this building. This building is for many years housed Torah and Tefillah. I hope to speak about it a little bit at the 8:15 minyan of Shabbos. But Mirtz Hashem, we will not miss a beat. Next week, same time, slightly different place in the modular building. I am told that the children committee is actively meeting to figure out, since the modular building does not have an oven, we will figure out a way to make sure that there will still be cholent, Mirtz Hashem, and other goodies at the future shurim, even in that modular building. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay. Parshas Bo is presented me with the following challenge. The most obvious topics to discuss on Parshas Bo, of course, relate to the holiday of Pesach. But I didn't want to use up any of the shurim because then I wouldn't have what to say over Pesach. So all the obvious topics, including last week, had I been here with Alatosos and this Masa called Shiva, which was certainly topics from this week. But anyway, we had to be a little bit creative. Not so creative, but only a little bit creative. And even though usually Shurim and Hechos Pidgin HaBen are saved for obvious reasons to Sefer Bamidbar, but it's also relevant to Sefer Shmos and specifically to Parshas Bo. The first, the most obvious relevance in Parshas Bo, of course, comes in the end in the Shvi'i Aliyah in Parakut Gimel. The Torah tells us, Yidaber Shem Moshe Lemor, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Name is Pasuk. Peter Kol Rechem Bivnei Yisrael Ba'adam Ubebehema Li Hu. The famous idea, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, that there's a Kedusha that all of the Bechoros have, not only for animals, Sech Bechoros, most well known for, but even there's Kedushas Bechor Adam. Very, very significant, this Kedusha. The Torah then takes a little bit of a break for Zechiyas Yis Mitzrayim, and then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, another famous Pasuk in Revisits, Hoya Ki Viacha, Hashem El Eretz Akanani, Asher Nishba Lachal Avosecha, Snalach. When Hashem will bring us Eretz Yisrael, Va'avarta. What does Va'avarta mean? It's not an obvious translation. Rashi explains it's from to be mafresh, to separate, dedicated. Kol peter rechem l'Hashem, kol peter sheger behema, ashiya l'cha hazcharim l'Hashem. Again, a notion of the Kedushas Bechor. Is there a reference in these psukim to Bechor Adam, or is it just referring to Bechor Behema? So this is actually two opinions in Rashi. Rashi here on Pasuk Yud Bey, Zibar Maskel Sheger Behema, has one opinion, the first opinion that takes up the bulk of the Rashi that assumes that whole Pasuk is referring to Bechor Behema. However, the second opinion in Rashi, Loshan Acher Yesh Lafarish Vahavarta, Ko Peterechev Bechor Adam Hakosav Vedaber. I have a few more sheets, I think. Are there some sheets there? So according to Rashi, you have now a second reference here within this Perek Yud Gimel of the notion of the Kedusha of the Bechor Ha'adam. Now, question is, here we have, again, we have to remember, this is not the Parshas Mishpatim, or for that matter, somewhere in Parshas Vayikra. This story, Parshas Bo, is also a narrative. There's a story going on. Where are we holding? We're holding at the end of the Makos, we're holding by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if the Torah is telling us that there's this notion of Kedushas Bechor, the question, I think the first obvious question we have to ask, not so much even Nafka Mia Lamaisa, just so we should know what's going on, when did this Kedushas Bechor take place? The Pasuk, Mepharshim say, takes place on the same night, perhaps, as Makos Bechoros. But when does this Kedushas Bechor kick in? And in fact, the question is, assuming that it kicked in that night, how long did it last? How long did it last? Because as we know, obviously, Meheri Yabana HaMikdash, it's not necessarily, well, leave aside that, because that might be a slight machlokas, but certainly in the first base of Mikdash, and in the second base of Mikdash, so it wasn't the Bechor who had the special Kedusha to do the Avodah, it was Shevet Levi. So how long did this Kedusha Bechor, we're being told about it now, when did it take place? As a Bechor, the son of both a mother and a daughter, a wife, a father were Bechorim, and was married to a Bechora, this is very relevant. I take this up very sensitively. So the Gemara in Masechta Zvachim, I'm also a lady, though, so it's okay. My mother's a Bas Kohen. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. My wife is the first Yisrael in the family in a while. Yeah, we're open-minded and tolerant. Mesechta Zvachim on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Mabeis actually quotes a brisa that has a fascinating machlokes tanoim. Until when? How long? What was the durable power of the Kedushas Bechor? How long did it last? So one opinion says it lasted until Matan Torah. The Har Sinai, the carbonos that were being brought, that was stripped from the Bechor and given to Shevet Levi then. And the second opinion says actually much further until the second year in the Midbar, until the Hakamas HaMishkan. Only when they established the Mishkan and they did that first Avoda was that, we know, with of course, with Aaron and his family, the tragedy of Nadav and Avihu, but then already you're not talking about a Bechor, even if Aaron was, but you're talking about Shevet Levi. It's interesting that all of you who are probably familiar with the Rashi and Chumash, and this is kind of, I think, what we're brought up being taught in elementary school, should be scratching your head, saying, well, that's neither of those opinions are what I was taught. Well, what are we familiar with? Right, so that's not opinion in Chazal anywhere, to the best of my knowledge. It's a Rashi. It's a Rashi in Bamidbar, Parag Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, who says, until Cheir Egel, that a Cheir Egel, it was stripped from the Bechor and given to Shevet Levi. So the Or Zeruah and others, but most notably the Or Zeruah and Hilchos Bechoros asked the Shaila, Lo Kamar V'lo Kamar, where did Rashi get it from? He's not like either Tana. So the Maral and his Gur Arya, the Maral, as you know, the commentary on Chumash is a misnomer. The Maral didn't write a commentary on Chumash. The Maral wrote a commentary on Rashi. It's a commentary on Chumash. In English, we call it a super commentary. Not super, although it is a super commentary. It's dynamite. But it's a supra commentary. It's on Parshas Rashi. On Parshas Rashi. So the Maral there suggests, that if you look at one of the other Mefarshi Rashi, the Re'im, Rabbi Eliezer Mizrahi, he also has a suggestion. But I like the Maral's suggestion. He says as follows. He says, what Rashi is saying is that he's going Aliba Deman to Omar, that the transfer only happened at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan. But what Rashi is telling us is a different question. Why? What happened in Hakamas HaMishkan? Why is that arbitrary? Why is that fair to the firstborn that they should just have come with the Mishkan, we should switch to Shevet Levi? So Rashi was coming to tell us something else. What's the cause, not when, but why? Why? The Cheir Egel. But here's the Chiddush that the Gur Arya says that Rashi is teaching us. That when there was the Cheir Egel, the Bechor had a Yerida in their Darga of Kedusha. They weren't as holy as they were this night, Leil Tetzvav Nisan. But it was enough to bring Karbanos. It was enough to still be the leaders. Once you had a Mishkan, so then the Kedusha was raised, the bar is raised. For what level of Kedusha you have to be in order to bring the Karbanos to the Avodah in the Mishkan? That's not to bring Karbanos to the Avodah in a Mishkan. And that's why, that's when the Tana says, and it's at that point that the devaluation in Kedusha that the Bechor suffered, the Egel, only then had consequence at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan. It's interesting, if you look at this Pasuk Yigimel, we mentioned again, we'll read it again. Pasuk Yigimel here, Kopeter Chamor Tifteh B'Sevim Lo Tifteh V'Arav Tov B'Chor Adam B'Vnecha Tifteh. Here it's explicit. And the Pasuk before was 2 days in Rashi, but in Pasuk Yigimel it's explicit. B'Chor B'Chor Adam B'Vnecha Tifteh. What is the Chiddush of this Pasuk? It's the first time in the Torah we have a notion not just of Kedushas B'Chor, because until now all we see is Kedushas B'Chor. The title of our shir has been unconnected directly to anything we said until now. The connection between this pigeon haben, the pigeon of the Bechor, that only takes place here. This is the first place. Perek Yigimel, Pasuk Yigimel of Shmos. Now we didn't just have Kedusha of Bechor, now we have something that we're supposed to do with the Kedusha, namely we're supposed to redeem it. There's a mitzvah of pigeon haben. Now the truth of the matter is, it's only a group of Rishonim in my hunches, it's actually only a minority view of Rishonim, but there are some who see this pasuk, Perek Yigimel, Pasuk Yigimel, our parsha, as the halachic mocker for the mitzvah of pigeon haben. So, for example, the Sefer Achinuch in Shin Tzadiches, the smag, as well as the smag is in mitzvah say Kuf Mem Gimel, the smag is in Reish Mem Gimel, they all quote that the Mara Makum, the source for the mitzvah of pigeon haben, despite the fact that in Korach is where it's more well known, perhaps other psukim. That's what other Rishonim, like the Rambam and others, seem to quote from other Psukim. However, these Rishonim hold that it's our Makar and Parshas Bo is the source of the Mishnah Pinyin Aben. And in fact, there's the Smag, the classical edition of the Smag, comes with a commentary known as the Bris Moshe. So the Bris Moshe says, why they pick this Pasuk? Because it's the first time it's mentioned. On the contrary, why are you so surprised? Parshas Bo should be the Mar Makam. It's the first time it's mentioned. Why should you bypass it? That's a good question. Okay, so those could be answers. And I mean, there could be answers. Although, again, there are certainly other mitzvos, certainly other answers, right? I think in the, right? Okay, there's quite a few. But anyway, the point is that this, the pasuk in our parsha, it's not just, if you will, a pesach for me to give a shir, which, if that's all it was, it'd be sufficient. But it may be more than that. It may be, according to Rishon Yeshayahu, this is the Maror Makom, this is the source. Parsha's Bo, which is not well known as the Pidgin HaBen Parsha. But according to these Rishonim, in fact, even though there are other psukim, they perhaps go into more details about the mitzvah, but this, in fact, may be the original source.
You wouldn't know about how to do it, five shekels.
Okay, that's a different question. The question is the mucker. Now, just one last thing before we get into the specific halachos of Pidgin HaBen that I want to talk about tonight, and that is the question of the following. I mentioned that I was reading these psukim in Perek Yud-Gimel, that there really are two things being mentioned. The beginning of Perek Yud-Gimel, Kadesh L'Kol B'chor speaks about what? Kedusha HaBechor. The fact that the Bechor has a certain Kedusha. Now, only in Pasuk Yud Gimel is there a notion of Pidyon HaBen. At the time, if you will, what we call Pesach Mitzrayim, at this time, and in the time of the Midbar, at least until Matan Torah, maybe Chet Egel, maybe Hakamas Mishkan, there were two separate phenomena, two separate mitzvos. There was a Kedusha, which in a certain sense, although it's not clear how one had to, what the act of, what the mitzvah is to do, when I'm not fish, but there's a certain Kedushas HaGof, apparently, that the Bechor has. That's one thing, that's a Daraisa reality. But then, there is a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The question is, are both of these, if we can separate them, which it appears that the Torah does, are these both separate mitzvot L'Doros, or perhaps when the transference happened to Shevet Levi, even though there's still a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, but that doesn't mean necessarily that L'Doros, there's this inherent Kedusha, which apparently was established with the Pasuk of Kadesh Li. So this question appears, I don't have an explanation for it, but I think it's a Machlokas Rishon. I say that because if you look at the Moni and Mitzvos, it's a very stark contrast in how many Mitzvos they count. If you look at the Smag that I mentioned, the Smak, the Sefer Yireim, they all count in their Minyan Mitzvos, which is again Mitzvos that are known as L'Doros, one Mitzvah, the Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. Hi, Kadosh Li Kol B'chor. That was a mitzvah for a specific time in history, maybe not even a year, and at most a little over a year that it lasted. Okay, there was a reality then, but it's not a mitzvah in Hagas L'Daros, and therefore they don't count it. They only count one mitzvah, Liftos B'chor Adam. However, if you look at the Rambam, and unsurprisingly, the Sefer HaChinuch, who often follows the Rambam, the Rambam counts two separate mitzvahs to Araisa, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos, because I just read it too quickly, the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Chayin Tes, and Pei, you can find here, fancy edition, but I think the numbering can be the same. Listen to the Lashon of the Rambam, Mitzvah Chayin Tes, Hishet Sivanu, L'Kadesh Bechoros. Now, how are we M'Kadesh them? Usually we think of being Poda them from the Kedusha. But that's not my topic tonight. But that's the Lashon HaRambam. He says, Yivanu l'kadesh b'choros. So the Rambam tells us, Komer l'hafrisham l'havdilam. L'mash roi shi'asa behem. What's the pasuk? What's the makor? So Parshas Bo, Kadesh l'kal b'chor. That's Mitzvah 79. Ayin Tess. Next was the Mitzvah Shmonim. He says, Yivanu liftos b'chor adam. Sh'anoset adam imahein l'kohein. The matnes kahuna. It's interesting, even though he just quoted, you know, it's interesting, again, there have been studies, perhaps not enough, on what is the organizing principle of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. Other Rishonim, it's more obvious. The Chinuch is obvious. He's going on Seder HaParshios. Other Rishonim organize in terms of themes, Barav L'Chavero, Barav L'Mokom, holidays. The Rambam is none of those. So it's interesting, though, that the Rambam puts these two back to back. He starts off in the Ayin Tes with the Pasuk and Bo. Yet, when he gives the Maror Makom for Mitzvah Shmonim, as I alluded to before, it's the other Rishonim who quote our parshas, the Makom of Pidyon HaBen. Rambam goes out of his way and says, no! He actually, if you look at all the Rambams that talk about Pidyon HaBen, he quotes, if I'm not mistaken, I think three different psukim. He's not consistent, actually. But here's the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam quotes the Pasuk of B'chor HaBanecha Atitein Li, the Pasuk of Mishpatim. But again, what's notable here is not what he does quote, but what he doesn't quote. And the Mitzvah is right after each other, even though he could have, Rambam, so far says Bo. It's there for Pidyon HaBen too. Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam very consciously avoid that. But be that as it may, the point is that the Rambam here in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, as well as the Sefer Chinuch who follows the Rambam, they count two separate mitzvos. So, what the manifestations of it are, Bezman Hazeh, is a good question, but it seems like the Rambam holds that there's a separate mitzvah, L'Doros, of being Makdish the Bechor, and there's a separate mitzvah of being Hodeh the Bechor, as opposed to the other Rishonim, only count that one mitzvah, presumably they deny, at least Lodoros, that original mitzvah. Now, the topic I want to discuss, I entitled this year Inyanei Pidyon HaBen, because of course there are many Inyanei Pidyon HaBen, and in fact, say for mitzvahs, you know, you only count them. Now Rambam and Sharashim says, I'm only counting mitzvahs Lodoros. In theory, other Rishonim, you might have, but you can't say that for the Rambam. The Rambam counts, that's one of the cardinal principles of the Rambam's counseling. He quotes that in the Sharashim, that he only writes down mitzvahs that are known as Lodoros. Okay, so, Pidyon HaBen, of course, has many, many halachos. We can't do them all. Plus, since there are a few people who are here who come to the weekly Gemara Shir, so the last topic we did in Masechta Kiddushin was in Yanei Pidyon HaBen. And there we spoke about some of the very fascinating issues of who's obligated, who's the real Bar Chayuv in Pidyon HaBen. Is it the boy? Is it his father? How do we understand the patur of the mother? Does Bezdin have a role? We discussed perhaps, does the grandfather have a role? Those are one area, so we're not going to duplicate that. That's for the people who came to the Gemara Kedushin here, even though it's just as relevant to this parsha as it was then. But we'll leave that. And there are other topics, the whole nature, which again was just being alluded to a little bit in the Rambam when I mentioned, is a big discussion to what extent, again, a real lomda shashayla, which I didn't discuss in the Gemara here, and I'm not going to discuss tonight either, but just to raise your consciousness to it, the real chakira about what is the Maisa Pidyon HaBen. Is it just a din in Matnas Kahuna, is it like a present, it's manmanis? Or is there some kind of chiyuv hafrasha? Is it more kind of a hektish? That is a major, major question in Pidyon HaBen. For those, again, who remember in the Gemara Shir, we mentioned there's a famous Birka Shmuel, or Baruch Ber, in Sechta Kiddushin. So there's a big question there where he discussed the Nusach HaBracha of Pidyon HaBen versus the Nusach HaBracha of Bris Milah. And he was specifically focusing on the Shitas HaRambam. Rivash lived later, was talking about the Rambam. And he was bothered. He noticed that the Rambam, there's a contrast whether you do al pidyon or liftos, al mila or lomul. There's an inconsistency between Pidyon HaBen and between Bris Mila. And the issue which the Rivash suggested, was that it had to do with when the boy hits 13, if there hadn't been a Bris or there hadn't been a Pidyon HaBen respectively. So the Gemara in both places is explicit that the boy becomes obligated himself. The Shiloh, which is not explicit in the Gemara, is what happened to the Chiv of the father. Is he still Chayiv, or is Ois Chiv? He's not Chayiv anymore when he hits 30. And in that context, the Rivash made a distinction between the two, and as the Baruch Ber pointed out, but it's not true, it's not a correct distinction, because Halacha is the same. In both cases, the boy becomes Chayiv. So there, the Baruch Ber had a whole lamdus, which he mentions there that he said over to Reb Chaim agreed to, was that there's these two dinim in Pidyon HaBen. That not only is there this mitzvah angle, but there's a momentous angle. There's a shibud moment. And therefore, he had suggested that perhaps, even if the mitzvah is no longer the father's after 13, but if his moment, there's a lien on his money. So until that lien is paid off, the shibud moment is there, perhaps that would last even beyond 13. That would have been perhaps something that would have been more durable, more enduring than the chiyuv, the mitzvah. But again, this is just la'orer you to some of the issues that are out there. What I really do want to focus on for tonight's show, the remaining time that we have, is a very specific question, which is very, very practical for those for whom this is relevant, and that is the question of when do you do the Pidyon HaBen? There's so much confusion, even among Rabbanim sometimes, but there's so much confusion. The 30th day, the 31st day, Shki before the 30th, Shki before the 30th, 31st, can I do it at night? Am I allowed to do it at night? Do I have to do it at night? Is it, do I make Hamotzi first, then do the Pidyon HaBen, then do
Hamotzi?
Very technical questions. How do you decide what the 30th day is? How do we know these things? So this is the topic, the timing of the Pidyon HaBen is what I would like to talk about tonight, specifically focusing on the 30th versus the 31st day, and specifically speaking about night versus day. Even in this specific topic of timing, we can't exhaust every detail, although we will do our best. So the issue of when you do the Pidyon HaBen, again, it's not at all obvious or explicit, at least not directly explicit in a pasuk in Chumash, but it is an explicit Gemara. The Gemara is in two places, both in Masechta Becharos, and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, as well as Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that the Pidyon HaBen is only La'achar Shloshim Yom. How do we know this? It's based on Gzer Shava, both in Psukim, again in Bamidbar Perak Yud Ches, Pasuk Hazayin, as well as in Perak Gimel, Pasuk Mem, where in both places it's Chodesh, the Gemara Darshan's Chodesh, and in both places they're forbidden event, it's after there's been a Chodesh, after there has been presumably 30 days. what is the magical worth of 30? So Rashi says, the Masechta Bechoros Daf Mem Tes. It's Mechavan to you. Rashi says it's because until then we're so choshesh that the baby could be a nakel. However, Tosis there goes crazy. What are you, darshaning time in Lekro? It's like, there's a kasuv. Not just stam. It says Tosis, we have a concept that if we could be sure, where does 30 days come from? 30 days comes from because we're not sure until the baby hits 30 of Kalub El Kadosha. Maybe the baby's really premature. To this very day, Kalvachomer and Bizmana Gemara, to this very day, due dates are an imprecise science. So you thought you had a full-term baby. Maybe your baby was really too early. Even if you think you had a 9 months, if you had a 9 month baby or so, or approximately, so after the 30 days, then for sure, Kol HaBachadashi, we know it's not a navel. Maybe Kadara Fon Olfam, but it's not called a navel. That's a real... So says Tosis, if the only chashash was because of navel, so in a case where you knew, Bavados, that the mother was full-term, Kol HaBachadashi, then you should do the pigeon event right away. But no one would say such a thing. That's impossible. He accuses Rashi of it, but it's not clear if he really accuses Rashi of it or he just says this as a reductio ad absurdum. He's just trying to make it, just make the point. So therefore, he doesn't like the fact that Rashi even says this idea of Nephil. Could we just there's a cause of it? Now, just to defend Rashi, just to point out, the Maariv al-Ghazi, one of the famous achronim on all these topics of Bukhoros, is the Maariv al-Ghazi. Maariv al-Ghazi wrote a big kudris, which Baruch Hashem, it's in the back of the Gemaras there in Bukhoros. You have to have 4 magnifying glasses and 3 other... Huh?
New one.
Oh! Thank you, segue. But Baruch Hashem, we live in our generation, so this recently, I bought it a few years ago when I was learning with Masechta Chala, a new Maariv al-Ghazi in big, bold print, even with footnotes. Razzle, dazzle, impress your friends. You have everything there for Masechta Chala and Masechta Bechoros. These are the two areas of the tradition where the Maariv al-Ghazi is the preeminent achrom. So Maariv al-Ghazi here in Bechoros points out that, listen, Rashi was saying what Rashi was saying, but Lamaisa, don't think, you don't have a machlokas Rashi and Tosus about what happens in such a case. When would you be in your bed? Everyone agrees. It's too often a Gemara. It's too explicit Gemaras that you always wait until 30 days. Even Rashi said that. Rashi was suggesting a reason, but Maisa wouldn't be a low plug. And in fact, if you look at Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei Siman Shud Hey, if you had Aleph, this is in fact the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch L'Achav Shloshim Yom, is when you can do the Pidyon HaBen. Now, the question is, what does that mean? You think it's so clear, it's so obvious. Loshim Yom, isn't that clear? Loshim, says the Gemara. Not so poshut. The more obvious, the more simple understanding of that is the main school of thought. But we'll see momentarily that it is debated. What is the main school of thought? What is the one who is one of the earliest who just spells it out explicitly is the Smak. We mentioned the Smak. The Bach quotes it. A number of posts from Shulchan Aruch quoted via the Bach. And that is the Smak says, what do you mean? What does the Gemara mean? What does the Shulchan Aruch mean? You do it on the 31st day. Not on the 30th day. You do it on the 31st day. The Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim and Choshab Simon Shin Lamed Tes also discusses this. And he bases it again on the Pasuk in Bamidbar where it says, Miben Chodesh Umala. Chodesh to 30 days, Umala, and beyond, it has to be on the 30th day. Who else says such a thing? The Chacham Tzvi passes this way. His son, Rav Yaakov Emden, in the Siner Yavetz, passes this way. The Aruch HaShulchan says this. The Mishnah Brura there on that Magen Avraham says this. The Pidyon HaBen is not to be done until the 31st day. Now, who argues on this? There's an opinion that argues. The Bach himself. The Bach, both in his commentary on the tour, you hear the Bach Stam, that's his parish on the tour, as well as there's Rav Yoel Sirks was his name, and he wrote a most well-known commentary on the tour, but he also had Chuvas. The Chuvas HaBach, which are a little bit more accessible now for those people who have the Bar-Ilan CD-ROM. I don't know too many people who own a volume of Chuvas HaBach, but the Bar-Ilan CD-ROM, you have the Chuvas HaBach, and Simon Kuf Kuf Hey. He says that that's not what it means. And furthermore, he digs up a Rishon as a Maramokum, the very same Yireim we've quoted. What does it mean? This is, again, I didn't have a chance to call him, but this is where you want to say, you know, who do you call? Rabbi Heber. This is a real cheshbin of the calendar, which Rabbi Heber is not just the biggest expert in Baltimore, he's one of the biggest experts in the country. And I say that, believe us, Mark. The Yireim says, what does it mean? This is the famous shir that they talk about. 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim. I think it's 1,080, if I'm not mistaken, right? Are the Chalakim 1,080?
Yeah.
Okay. Right over my head. Yes, so any time you have 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 Chalakim have passed, then you can do it. Why? What is the point of this? Because that's the definition of a lunar month. Namely, if you would divide up the entire Jewish year into 12, that is that shear. That is a precise lunar month. That's the Mishnah Berurah points this out. That you're dividing up the year into 12 equal Chalakim.
What do they do with Pasuk Bamara?
So the Bach points out. Also, yeah, the Bach points out. He says when Bach does it quickly, Shloshim is Lav Dafka. It means a month. So a month is 29 days, 12 hours, and what did I say? 793 Chalakim. A millisecond after that is Umala. You have to wait until then. But the point is not Umala. The point is Shloshim. They hold the Shloshim is Lav Dafka. Now, do we hold like this?
Once you pass the 29th day, once you pass 28 full days, you've gotten into...
No one says that, though. I don't think. This is the earliest. No one says before this.
No. I'm saying...
That this is type that.
Yeah.
That. And then you have 30. Then you have 30. But with the main point, for sure, the Bible is you don't have to wait until 31.
Right.
So, Lamaita, are you allowed to do such a thing? How do we paskin? It's a major, major machlokes. So the Mishnah Berurah I already mentioned, in the Birkei Yosef, and the Steich Emed quotes, and Tshuvas Rabbiya Omer. If you want to get all the raid on this, you look up Ravadja's Tshuva, he summarizes the million machloksim on all the details of this. They all paskin the following. This Bach, and this Yireim, it's nice to know, and it's nice to learn, but is Nidcha L'Halacha. Namely, they say if you would do the Pidgin HaBen on day 30, you're required to do the Pidgin HaBen again on day 31. Although, the one...
Isn't Pidgin HaBen is like the Gemilah? The Gemilah doesn't count before 8 days. Pidgin HaBen doesn't count before 30 days?
Exactly.
But, yes,
we wouldn't make a problem. The one concession that he makes to the Yireim, that they make the Yireim, is if you did it after that period, you perhaps would not have to make a bracha on day 31 again. But that you would have to do it again is for sure.
It depends if you send me actually.
What, you mean you did Al-Tanai?
I think
if you look at that Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham who he's basing it on, I think they're just nitchad. They said it doesn't matter why, how you do it. If you do it early, you did it too early. I believe so. Again, let's just be clear what I'm not talking about, because we're going to get to it. I'm not talking about the night of the 31st versus the day of the 31st. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about day 30. Okay. Now, the shaila is, once we've assumed the halacha that you have to do the pidgin HaBen on day 31 as opposed to day 30, the question, of course, is when on day 31? This is, again, this is directly a parallel to a bris milah shaila, right? You have to do it on day 8. But how come no one does it on the night of the 8th day? Because you're not allowed to do bris milah on night. that's the pasuk. Okay, the point is, the shaila here is the same, and there's no pasuk here. There's no pasuk here that tells you you shouldn't. The shaila is, if you're supposed to do on day 31, okay. So, or liyom lamed aleph, the night of the 31st, we should make a party, have a pidgin HaBen. Is that doable or not? So the famous Maramakim here, the well-known Maramakim here, is the Shach. The Shach in Yerdei and Simon Shem Hei, Sifkat in Yerdeis, says, even though you could, in theory it sounds like you could do the pidgin at night, the minhag is, and he doesn't elaborate, he doesn't explain why. Shach says, the minhag is, we don't do a pidgin HaBen at night. Therefore, even though technically it's the 31st day, you wait until the next day. In theory, any time during the day is fine. But you don't do it at night. Who quotes this? The Nerd of Yehuda quotes this. The Maram Shik quotes this. Rameir Arik and Imre Yosher quotes this. All this idea that we're definitely going to do it in the daytime, not at night. Yes?
Is that only if we're the 31st night? What happens on the 31st Shabbos, for example?
Oh, good question. Good. We'll get to it. What happens if you didn't do it then, for example? That's your shiloh. Let's say day 31 goes by and you miscalculated, and now it's the night of the 31st, meaning or the 32.
Right.
That would be your shiloh. Yes, good. So we'll get to that. However, this also is debated. And the truth is, it's a very surprising shach. There's no mar malkum. It's not like bris milah where there's a pasuk. Plus, on the contrary, there seem to be two rayas against it. The Gemara Matech Lekedushin, the Gemara that I was learning in the Shir, both on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, as well as on Lamed Aleph Aleph, in both places in the context they're referring to Chiyuv Nashim, the Gemara basically says explicitly that Pidyon HaBen is not a Mitzvah Sefeshes Man Grama, therefore there needs to be a separate Pasuk, which is Darshind, to exempt the mother from the Chiyuv, it's only the father, but it's not because it's a Mitzvah Sefeshes Man Grama. Because, again, as the Gemara, it's clear from these two Gemaras, because you could do Pidyon HaBen at night. Plus, not only do you have that, what about the reason, Matim Ulim Mitzvahs? Why shouldn't you do it then? So, in fact, not only is that the, if you would have, might have guessed, this is a very strong, historically, into this day, again, I tell you to this day, based on the Sforim, I don't know practical experience in the community, but from an ancient, strong Shtrak Minog of many communities of the Sfarim. So, for example, the Birke Yosef quotes the Chuvas Gineth Maradim, who says that, at least in that time, he says it was the Minog of Yehudei Mitzrayim, Egyptian Jewish community, that they bedafka did the bris at night, the night of the 31st. Thank you very much.
But, why is that? Maybe that's the reason why we have the Minog.
Oh, good, could be. I didn't see anyone say that, but... Good, yeah, my confusion.
Trying to backtrack.
Dilma, I'll say the day will be like the rabbi.
Why is there Shiloh? I mean, by Bris Mila, you need a specific pasuk by Yom HaShemini.
Right.
If it wasn't for that, it could be
100%. That's what I did. It's a surprising shach. But the shach is a widely quoted. So, again, the exception, the alternative... is this Guinness Faradim in the Berak Yosef, and in fact, to this very day, again, I didn't do a sociological sample, but in terms of contemporary posting, Rav Avadya Yosef says, to this very day, this is considered the preferred minog for Anshei Sfarad. I'm going to say, yes, you know. I'm not talking about the party. We're talking about the pigeon. Okay, we'll get to it. Why we do it close tonight, we'll get to that also momentarily. But again, the Abi Omer says this. Furthermore, the Stechemet, just so you should understand, we are often familiar with the Sakpada, this notion, again, this is a shock that didn't come out of nowhere, during the day or in the day. The Stechemet says that he would be logically predisposed. The Stechemet goes through this, essentially, and like what you're saying, well, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, Brismila, that's a puzzle, but this whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Stechemet says he'd be logically predisposed, but what can he do? No, it seems to be the Minog Dafka do during the day. Moreover, and this I think is comes to the notion which we get to, which is the real practical custom that I'm most familiar with, which is where people try to have them in a Samoch L'Shkia. Why not other parts of the day? So already the Chuvas Maram Brisk, that's a little bit before Brisk became a very, very famous city, the Maram Brisk, not at all related to the Salvechiks, he says that nowadays, he says, not only should it be allowed, he says it's preferable to do it at night because you can get a bigger tzibur. So I think that's the practical reason. Why do we do a Samoch L'Shkia? Because we want to have it during the day. That's the shach, which we're going to get to. Why? I still haven't told you why. I've told you there's a machlokas. But we want to have it in a way that's convenient enough to have a full crowd.
That sums the reasons.
Apparently. Again, it's not... The fact that we don't do it in the nighttime, which is the bigger shach, but it's right. Why don't we do it at 8 o'clock the next morning? I didn't see anyone write about this. But it's not done. I've never been in a pity of any in the morning. There would be nothing wrong with it, to the best I can tell.
No, that's no time later on.
Okay, fair enough. There are other, that's the Shabbos where there are fast days. Fast days people do it then, at night. Again, the next day.
They can do the pigeons in the morning, too. They can't do it in the morning.
Why? Because the Suda. Oh, they could, but the Minogans do it with the Suda. Again, to what extent that Suda, this is not a topic I thought about talking about, which I'm not going to. To what extent that Suda is an integral part, do we say Mishe Simcha B'Ma'ono during benching or not, that the Machlokes practices that we don't, but some discussion.
Is that the part of the
pigeon? No, so there's a discussion about this. There's a discussion, yes. You're just stretching, okay. So the Shaila now is why wait? Now the Shaila is why wait? Again, the Svardim... Good, so they have that. It seems very logical, strong arguments, deductions from the Gemara, many poskim. But Lemaisa, for the Minhag Ashkenaz that seems to follow, the Shaila is why. The Shach doesn't tell us. A pity. The Shach does not tell us. The truth is that the Zrizim angle is, I don't know when I saw who discussed this head on, was a makeshift upper. Ritziv and Tshuva says, and this again relates a little bit, agav, to the lumdus I mentioned before, what's the nature of Pidgin HaBen? Is it more of a mominus? Is it more Isser Beheter? So the, at least indirectly relating to this, the Meishiv Dover says he has other marmakamos that support this notion, and that is that it's not the derech to repay loans at night. Bank hours. I'm not joking. This is what the Nitziv says. The derech is that these things, and since this is essentially repaying the loan to the Kohen, so we're going to have it. So that's why the Nitziv says... Yes, exactly. It does. Yes, it's the moment. I said it. It relates to the loans we spoke about before. Correct. I didn't know about this. I should have to get the Gemara share. I have to go back and do Kedushin again. Well, you know, you were there. You didn't hear me say that, right?
Right.
Okay. So the Shaila is why. Lamaisa, the Shaila is why not. So there's a number of theories. They're all interesting theories, but that pretty much all there are. There are theories. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and his Gilyon on the Shulchan Aruch suggests, well, perhaps it could be that in some cases on that night, the baby will not have yet lived a full lunar month. Therefore, we're waiting for those 793 halakim. But the Magen Avraham, who quotes this, the Magen Avraham says, what are you talking about? We don't paskin like that. It's a Bach, it's a Yireim, but we don't paskin like that. The Arposkin will say, in the given day, you should wait until after those 12. But that's only a hider. That's certainly not Li'ikuva. And the Magen Avraham says, that can't be the reason. That's the Magen Avraham. But it's, again, it's a Rekivit.
He's not worrying about the minutes and days, but he's worrying if it was a Chaydish. That was
it could have come
days.
Out, and it's less.
No, if it was a Kaddish, it was more. It was 30 days, so you have to wait a little extra time.
Right, right. That's why we don't do it at night, but you don't want to jump the gun. Exactly. That's what Bikini Eger says, but the Magen Avraham rejects it. But that's at least one suggestion. Suggestion number one for what perhaps might be motivating the Shach.
Because in those days you didn't know...
Precise the time.
No, not only you didn't know precise time, but if you had to wait for Bezen to be Kaveh a Kaddish, and you didn't live Mamish in Yerushalayim, you didn't know exactly when it was.
Could be. We have this. We have other examples of this where we're worried about that imprecision. Another example that is quoted again became a little bit popular. The more I was learning the sugya, the more people I saw quoting like this. If you look just in Mishnah Berurah, you see this in the Shari Tshuva. But if you keep on looking, you'll find that not only does the Meshav Dover say this, but the Meshav Dover actually quoting an earlier source, the Mari Asad. Mari Asad was one of his Nadi Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. Either the Maram Shik or Mari Sad, and I guess he can put in the Ksav Sofer, he can fight him over with his father, because it was his son. But these are the big Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer. Mari Sad is the Meshav Dover, who the Meshav Dover is quoting. Also, you have this from the Shari Tshuva, and that is the following: that there's an Inyan Dafka by Pidgin HaBen to have Pirsum, to publicize it. And therefore, more likely to have the ability to publicize it during the daytime.
Why?
Says some people, because in those days, perhaps. People didn't go out as much as night. Right? No lights. But Anachanami. But Anachanami, some poskim say, but that wouldn't be relevant to Bismanazah. Bismanazah maybe you'd be a bigger crowd at night.
No, but Alan, if you look at the way they were doing Pidgin HaBen, it was with a whole per se.
I can't hear you.
Everybody used to go put the jewelry and everything onto the baby. And
some crowds, they still do it.
Yeah. But I'm saying, but they did it with a whole procession.
And he need, right, okay.
So therefore you have the pierce.
What's the notion of the pierce? Well, yeah.
That's how to offer this at the first and recent person. Same as Bikurim.
What's the missile person of Bikurim?
How old possession? Parade.
Okay.
What has Bikurim? What's the inner pierce?
Oh, so I think we're going to get to it in a second, even though this is not, I don't think they spell it out, but I think the answer may be what we're going to come to momentarily. But just to show you other rayas, by the way, this is not from them, but as I was looking for other echoes of this notion, to support this idea, there's an Indian of Pirsum Dafka in Pidgin HaBen. So just to give you two other examples, I mentioned before the Seuda. What's so significant about the Seuda? You say it's a Seuda's Mitzvah. It's more than that. The Truma Tzedeshen says, again, Dafka by Pidgin HaBen, as opposed to Bris Mila or other things, was Dafka in Indian of Seuda by Pidgin HaBen, the Pirsum. Which is a way of saying you'll get more people if you offer them food. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what the Truma Tzedeshen says. Furthermore, here's another notion. The Marie Bruna, the contemporary of the Beis Yosef, also Yosef. Anyone here see Rabbi Radinsky's Siyama Maseches Erevin on the OU webcast? No. So he mentioned, you heard your cousin? He mentioned that he saw a quote from the Chidah, why was Rav Yosef Karo Zoche to this tremendous Skiat Rishmai that the whole Klal Yisrael follows him, when in the same country, with people with the same name, like the Marie Bruna, were maybe just as big or bigger than him. So the Chida tries to suggest that Rav Yosef Kara wasn't definitely the biggest Talmud Chacham in the area. The Maariv Bruna, again, we don't know the Maariv Bruna the same way, but that's just to show you. The Chida talked about the Maariv Bruna at least the equal of the Machaber. So the Maariv Bruna says the following. Again, to this day, I think it's a very common practice. People are makbid like this, that you should dafka make hamotzi and then do the pidyon haben. It's not just because the caterer is shepherding the family. There's a real inyan, says Mari Bruno. Why? That will allow for more piersim. Again, I think the same nuance, but the same idea. Again, you'll look in Mari Bruno, I'm not here to catch why yes, why most of the. I'm only bringing it out to make the point that you see, again, focusing on food, something this shear is very sympathetic to. You see, look, if I wanted the shear to be more fearsome, we'd put out chulin. There's an ocean, right? Things are more fearsome. Again, I don't want to get hung up on it. I don't want to get hung up on it. It's interesting. What are we doing with Farsim, though, we'll see momentarily, I think. Again, the third answer I want to tell you does not specifically focus on fearsome, but I would suggest this as the answer, Alan. The third answer I want to give you brings us back, surprisingly, to our parsha. And that's the part of our parsha that explicitly does the pidyon haben. This comes from a tshuva of the great Maharsham, grandfather of the Maggid, of Yerushalayim, Ben Acher Ben, Shvadron. So the Maharsham in the tshuva says the following. If you look, one of the Maseches Ketanos is known as Maseches Smachos. So before you get to the halachos of Maseches Smachos, there's a psicha. And Maseches Smachos there quote the Braisa. The Braisa raises a stira about the timing of Makas Bechoros. Yeah, earlier in our parsha. Because if you look at Perek Yudbeis, Pasukot Tes, what does the Torah tell us? When was Makas Bechoros? Vayhi Chatzi Halayla. Therefore, Vashem Hika Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim. So that sounds like, again, we're not without being precise now, but when was it? It was at night.
Midnight.
But right now, I'll just when we even some of the nighttime. However, says the Maseches Machos, if you look in Bamidbar, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, there the Torah tells us, where am I in the right place? Kili kol b'chor b'bnei Yisrael b'adam v'behema, b'yom hakosi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim. Sounds like, says the Maseches Machos, Makas B'choros was during the day, not Chatzi HaLayla. B'yom hakosi. What's the teretz? Says the Maseches Machos, the following yishuv, the name of Yochanan. That Enechanami, the Makas B'choros, began in the middle of the night, but even though Hashem could have vanquished them, they all could have just dropped dead, which is, I think, the image that we have of spontaneously thousands of people, men and women, by the way, not just men, dropping dead. Says, right? Check out the movie. Says the Maseches Machos, not consulted for the script, that in fact it was a longer, more delayed process. They didn't completely stop dying until the next day. Why? To schlep it out, to torture them? No. Although that wouldn't have been a bad reason, but that's not the reason for the smachos. Kedei lefirsum, so the yidden should know about it. Again, in the middle of the night, everyone's scared, stiff, they're in their, at the carbon pesach, they're all, everyone's in their own house. How did they know what was going on? Their bacharos were being killed. Says the Maseches Smachos, ooh, and the next day everyone woke up and they said, what is going on? There's everyone's in panic. So
maybe Tom Paris signed away. I thought he was going to die.
Okay. I'm running late, so let me just finish up. So the Marsham says, from this, since the Makas Bechoros, which again many indications, why are the Bechor leak? Why is Kaddish called Bechor? Because we were stayed by Makas Bechoros. So just like Makas Bechoros culminated during the daytime, so too you should dafka at Pidyon Haben, says the Marsham, dafka during the daytime. There is another answer from the Hisoros Tshuva, which is mystical, which I didn't understand. And then, late breaking news, just at Mincha Maariv, and afterwards, Chanina showed me a sefer called the Chachmei Lev. The Chachmei Lev is a sefer written by the former yeshiva known as Lev Avram, which included, the name of the yeshiva is named in honor of Rav Avram Weinfeld Zatzal, was a very, very prominent Bozoik. His son was Rashi of the yeshiva, and he named the yeshiva after the name of the Sfarim of his father, the Baal Tshuva Lev Avram. And in the beginning of this volume, that the Chanina Shoma, this journal, they have a number of collected tshuvas from the Lev Avram. And there he also is being asked the shaila. His shaila was the following. This is a very common shaila. Why would someone ask such a thing? Because the grandparents won't be able to get there until the nighttime. So you'll say, why can't you just wait till the next day? Maybe they had to drive back to New York. I don't know. Says the Rav, well, that's the shadow. They asked him if the parents of the father, the grandparents, aren't going to come until the nighttime, so could you do the bris at nighttime? So he starts off by quoting a shach. The opinion about nighttime. Thank you. So you quote the shach, who says, listen, the minhag is to do it during the day, but it's clear from all the sources that halachically there really is no problem, so maybe you should. No! Rav Weinfeld, the mitzvah, he passes no, because the minhag Yisrael is only bidin aben in the daytime. And then he says, once I'm on the topic, al derech drush, let me give you the following suggestion. Why might it be that there is this hakpada? Where did this minhag come from? And he has the following very original idea. There's a Yerushalmi in Masechta Shkolim, made famous by Rabbeinu Bechai in Parshas Vayeshev. There's this notion, I saw this in other Hashkafas Farm as well, that Pidyon HaBen is not for anything we were speaking about until now. Rather, Pidyon HaBen is a kapara for Mechiras Yosef. The value of the five shkolim is the same as the brothers got when they sold Yosef. And therefore, we do the pidyon b'chor. They talk about, so can you imagine why should somebody, I saw one of them people ask, so why should the child of somebody from maybe a Shevet Ephraim or Menashe, he has to do it, and who's he doing it to? Davka, the descendant he's giving to Shevet Levi. Okay, that's a little shver for him. But that's what he says. He says that it's all a kapara. We're reenacting, so to speak. We're a kapara for the money that they gained for Mechiras Yosef. So why are we giving it to Dafka Kohen? What does the Kohen have to do with anything? So he quotes a raya from Gezel Hager, right? Where you don't have an unknown victim, who do you repay the money to? You pay the money to the Kohen. So he says, you see from here that when you don't have a victim to give it to, give it to the Kohen. Yosef's not around, we can identify his descendants, so I have to give it to the Kohen. And he then quotes, again, it's a very big pilpul, but at least it's an ingenious one. The Gemara of Bava Kama says, when you give the money of Gezel Ager to a Kohen, it can't be at night. Why? Because it's like a karbon. Because you're getting forgiveness for it, it's like a karbon. So therefore, says the Leib Avram, perhaps this is also a shtickle karbon, since we're getting kapara from Mechiras Yosef, and therefore... Right, but that's why we try not to. Okay. You didn't go to Leib Avram, you didn't go to Shimon Avram? Okay. Oh yeah, but don't be so smug. You can't be white guys, you know?
Why just Bechayim?
I want to just mention one more thing, because then I feel bad. It's too late. I just want to mention two things. Number one is the Tshuva Sivras Moshe. Moshe Feinstein says exclusively, this is a question that was asked before, the question the Shadler of Moshe had was, let's say you made a mistake. Again, see, sometimes they're so complicated. You look at the calendar, 30, 31, do I count the day the baby was born? Do I start the next? People can get confused on this, trust me. But Moshe says, what happens if you made a mistake? You called everyone to come, you think it was day 31, you realize it was day 30. Now everyone's there. And the rabbi pulls out the calendar and goes, uh-oh. So Moshe says, especially because there's the Kavod Abrius there, you wait till day 31, because we already saw from Mishnah Berurah and others in Aruch HaShulchan that day 30 is Makif. We don't do it on day 30. But once it's day 31, you can do it on the night of the 31st. Maybe that's when you were there. Maybe, I don't know if that's why. But that's the Shiloh of Moshe, that Moshe is Makil. Because again, it could be that the Leib Avram would have disagreed. I don't know. Because the Leib Avram also had a case. It's not as big as Tzorach, but the Leib Avram also had a Tzorach. And he said, no, the Minhag Yisrael is only during the daytime. Moshe seems perhaps a little bit more flexible, and in such a case, he was Makil. Last thing to mention is, what about if you are crossing the dateline? Or you're going from the West Coast to the East Coast? Right, we have somebody in the shoe. Wait, it happens all the time. People are in Eretz Yisrael for the year, they come back to America and have a baby, then they're back in Eretz Yisrael for the Binyan Aben. Or what if we have one married children from our shul, one to South Africa and one to Australia. It could easily happen. So the original Bar Shaila of this was the B'Tzel Chochma. That's the Deborah Tina's brother, who was a Rav in Australia. The Shaila, he has a Shaila. So basically, the idea is that he says, and if you look in the Shar Mitzvah B'Halacha, Rav Ron also says this, and that is that we don't go by the Makom, we go by the baby, which is another way of saying we go by where the baby was born. And the baby has to live 30 complete days, we're going to the 31st day for the baby. Lakula or Lachumra, it sounds like from the Pesel Chachma. If you look in the Shar Mitzvah B'Halacha, he says it's certainly true. It's certainly true lachumra. You wouldn't let it do it. But he's not sure if it would be in the other direction. Would you even say lakula, perhaps if you're in that place, and people are going to say, what are you doing? It's only the 30th day. And you say, oh, but if you look at the calendar back in Australia, it's already day 31. So that, the Sharmas Yon Malach leaves that Batsarchion. But it is an interesting question. And the basic Yisod seems to be, again, it could be this Kala Chadash of Nathal idea, or maybe it's just independent of that, except for Kosov. We go by the baby, we don't go by the calendar date of where you are. Okay, Shikaya.